This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My brothers and sisters, elders, yesterday we buried one of our sisters, a Iraqi sister. We had the janaza here, which reminds me again and again, and I remind you that one day, one Ramadan will be our last. And that is the topic of my khutbah. Is this my last Ramadan? Obviously, I can't answer it for myself and you can't answer it for me either. But the fact remains that one Ramadan will be our last. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us Ramadan al-Kareem to enable us to draw close to Him. And that is why He said Jalla Jalaluhu about the purpose of Ramadan, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fasting, sawm has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon. All promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for people of taqwa, not merely for muslimoon, but for muttaqoon. To be Muslim is to enter the fold, is to enter the boundary. But to benefit from anything, we have to do more than entering the boundary. If you do not enter the boundary, you are obviously out of it. But even if you enter the boundary and you do nothing else, you don't get the benefits. You are in the boundary, alhamdulillah, and that is a benefit in itself. But what about all the multiple benefits in keeping with the grace and mercy of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, which we will not be able to access unless we do more? And that more is taqwa. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allah ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people of taqwa and with the people of ihsan. Taqwa is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that we fear to do anything which displeases Him Jalla Jalaluhu. The more we love Allah, the more we fear to displease Him, and that is the state of taqwa. Taqwa is the state where a Muslim asks this question, one simple single question, before he or she does anything or says anything, and that is, does this please Allah? That's it. Life is very simple. Islam is very simple. Just one question. Does this please Allah? There are three possible answers. Yes, it pleases Allah, so do it. No, it does not please Allah, so don't do it. I don't know if it pleases Allah or not, so don't do it. Find out and then do or not do. And for people of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, He said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and whoever has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him, will make a way for this person to get out of every difficulty. And He, Jalla Jalaluhu, will provide him from sources he could never imagine. And whosoever puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. The question really to ask is, do we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us or not? Do we need Allah or not? Do we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us or not? They may sound like dumb questions, but these are very fundamental questions. We seriously need to ask this question and answer these questions for ourselves. Do we want Allah to be with us? Seriously. No point in saying, yes, of course. Yes, of course, means that Allah is not going to be with you in the sense of being with you, meaning He's there, He's witness, but He's not helping you in your haram business. So if you really want Allah to be with you, then what does it mean? We have time now. In Ramadan, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us barakah in time. So let us reflect and decide once and for all and change our lives to reflect this. Because remember, only actions get results. Only doing counts, not merely knowing. That is why there is no such thing as an NPM, non-practicing Muslim. If you don't practice, you are not Muslim. Knowing and not doing is proof against the slave. Deliberate ignorance, deliberately not knowing, is not defense in law. Ignorance is not defense in law. We must learn at least enough for our lives and to do the things that we need to do. That much knowledge is essential. And then we must practice that knowledge. Taqwa is the goal and is its own best reward. All other rewards of Ramadan al-Kareem are a bonus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounty and mercy. Let us ask ourselves the question which I've asked myself and you many times before. Will we enter Ramadan or will Ramadan enter us? Will we enter Ramadan or will Ramadan enter us? We are already in Ramadan. We entered Ramadan yesterday. And if this is what it means that we enter Ramadan, then on the first of Shawwal, we exit. But if Ramadan enters us, the spirit of Ramadan, what it means, if that enters us, then inshallah we hope for this to remain with us throughout our lives. As I mentioned to you in my khutbah last week, where I quoted for you the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last khutbah, the khutbah he gave in the last Friday of Shaban about Ramadan. And if you were not here, listen to the recording, it's there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of Jannah, ensure that they never shut for you. He said, Allah shut the doors of Jahannam. Ensure that they never open for you. That is the difference between we entering Ramadan. If we enter Ramadan, then these doors which are open today will shut on the first of Shawwal, and the doors which were shut will open. But if Ramadan enters us, then the doors which opened, inshallah, and we ask Allah for this, will remain open for us. And the doors which were shut of Jahannam and the punishment of Allah will remain shut. Let's monitor our gains going forward. What are the metrics? Look for the signs of taqwa. As we go forward in Ramadan, let's see whether fasting is getting us what it's designed to get us. I remind myself and you that no ibadah is for its own sake. Salah is not for the sake of salah, fasting is not for the sake of fasting, and so on and so on. Every ibadah has a reason. The ibadah is a tool to get us somewhere, to do something. And that something is the same for all ibadat, and that is the rida of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the qurb of Allah, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us monitor our fasting and see whether we are getting taqwa, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become muttaqoon. Is it happening? Four things to check as we go forward. Number one, are we doing more or less of all good works?
Are we doing more or less of all good works? I used to delay salah. Am I now, do I continue to delay salah or am I praying now on time? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, ala waqtihi. On time means what? Pray it at the exact time. I used to only pray far then run away. Now what do I do? And so on and so on. Do we do more? Or am I continuing the same or doing less? Number two, being careful with the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La taqrabuha. He said, do not go near them. We're not talking about breaking the boundary or going over the boundary. We're talking about not even going near the boundary. Which means what? Which means for everything we say or do, we ask this question, which I asked you before. Does it please Allah? Has Allah permitted this or not? Not going fatwa shopping to say, oh well, you see, in this madhab it is halal. That's nice. So which madhab do you follow? I follow whichever is easiest. Really, think about this. Being careful with the boundaries of Allah. Number three, always earn halal, eat halal. Again, don't play games. Do not play games. Because the game is with yourself, nobody else. And you will pay the price, not anybody else. Do more, be overly careful. Because with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can never be too careful. Earn halal, eat halal. If there is any iota of doubt, don't touch it. We should really do this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I always remind myself and you that supposing somebody said something that you are violently allergic to, something that literally put you in hospital, and somebody says, you know, there may be a slight chance maybe in this food, will you touch it? You won't even enter the room with that food. But when somebody says, you know, this is zabiha, non-zabiha, no, brother, mashallah, mashallah, I don't know, I have this fatwa. Your choice. Do what you, I never argue. So please, don't play game with yourself. Always earn halal, always eat halal. And number four, who do you look to for reward? Allah or the people? There are four things to do as we enter Ramadan. Number one, clean our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Allah said, it will not help you. The maal and baneen, the wealth and the children will not help you. Wealth and children means not necessarily children. Children meaning support and power and authority and whatnot. They will not help you. What will help us is accept him who brings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qalbun salim. A heart that is complete and soul and which is pure and which is free from shirk and nifaq and all kinds of things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. A heart that is free from hatred, from dislike of another brother or sister because of whatever they said and they did. This is the time, forgive. Remove it from your heart. I always say this to myself and you. Our choice is to become garbage collectors or the collectors of flowers. Our memories can be one big garbage bin full of stinky garbage, or it can be a beautiful bouquet of flowers which is fragrant. Our choice. People will do both things, believe me. Except for Rasulullah, there is nobody who does all good. And even with Rasulullah, his wives had problems. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then declared, and he said, if you got a problem with my Nabi, I will ask him to let you go in a nice way and I will give him better than you. So people in your life, whoever they are, if you idolize them and you thought they'll never do anything bad and they did, that was your problem. They will do both. Your choice, which one registers with you? Which one will you pick? Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's your friends, relatives, whoever. People will do both. They will do both good and they will do bad. Your choice, what you want to collect. And that's why I remind myself, when you have a selective memory, remember the good, forget the bad. Remember the lesson. Don't forget the lesson. But forget what happened. Because believe me, that's why the seerah is such a beautiful example. Believe me, whatever happens to you and me will never be even close to what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best, not just the best human being, the best of all creation, of every kind. People hurt him, people insulted him, people did all kinds of stuff to him, which people, it's not even close what might come to you and me. Yet, he forgave all of them. He forgave all of them. So what is your excuse? What's my excuse? Not to forgive our brothers and sisters. And we know the hadith of Abu Dawud. In Sunan Abi Dawud, we know the hadith of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu. He said, Rasulullah said, it is haram, unlawful, for a Muslim brother or sister to have anything bad in their heart about their brother or sister, to quarrel with them, not speak to them, not give salam to them, not return their salam. It is haram for them to do that for more than 3 days. And he said, if they do it for more than 3 days and they die, they will enter Jahannam. It is as serious as that. So let's not fall into that trap. So leave. In this issue of forgive and forget, please remember, make this a law for yourself, inshallah. Third thing is, fasting is not only about what goes into our mouths. Fasting is also about what comes out of our mouths. So fasting against ghibah, backbiting, slander, buhtan, namima, innuendo, casting aspersions, lying, cheating. Even if we don't speak haram, talking about things which have really no value. And the top of the line in that is politics. Because seriously, believe me, there's not a single person sitting here who can have any effect on actual things on the ground in politics, whether it's in this country or any country. At the most, what you can do is in an election in this country, you can go and cast your vote, and we know how many of us do that. But we spend hours and hours and hours talking about what is happening in Pakistan and what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in China and India and this and that. For what? This is from shaitan. Just talking all the time, love. Even if it's not haram, it's not earning you any good deeds, and why would you want to do something which is not earning you anything good? As far as ghibah and so on is concerned, I mean, I don't even need to recite the ayat for you and tell you the hadith. We know all of these. I don't think there's a single person here who does not know what is the evil of backbiting. Anyone who does not know what is the sin of backbiting? Who does not know what happens if you backbite? Not a single person, right? Alhamdulillah. As I told you, it's not just of knowledge. Knowing and not doing is worse. So let us not fall into that trap. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to help us to follow this deen and to make the best of Ramadan. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, the final point on the second point of the three of the four which I mentioned, the issue of fasting with what comes out of our mouths. It's also important to fast in what comes out of our thumbs, because they work on the keyboard and the phone. You know the hadith of the Salat, the hadith about who are the bankrupt, the hadith in Muslim Sharif, which is also in Riyadhus Salihin, where Rasulullah ﷺ asked the people, he said, who are the bankrupt of this ummah? They said, Ya Rasulullah, they are the people who have no dirham or dinar, no property. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the real bankrupt of my ummah is the one who will come on the day of resurrection with salat and sawm and sadaqah, but he will find himself bankrupt because all his good deeds would have been exhausted, because he reviled people, he brought calumny against others, he unlawfully devoured the wealth of others, he shed the blood of others, he attacked their honor, and so on. And so his good deeds will be credited to the account of those who suffered at his hand. And if his good deeds fall short to clear the account, their sins will be entered into his account and he would be thrown in the hellfire. I remember when I first read this hadith, the thought in my mind was, how can anyone bring so many evil deeds, a normal human being, how can bring so many evil deeds that all the good is exhausted? I'm not doubting the hadith, I'm saying, how is it possible? Until I discovered social media. Because remember, one thing you write on the social media will tour the earth. It will circulate in cyberspace, and you are in your qabr, and it is earning Jahannam for you. Right? That thing has got eternal life, not you. So please, be very careful. Stay far away from all this stuff. Fame can only do us harm. So why seek it? What Allah gives, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay out of it. Get out of social media, detox yourself. Ramadan is a good opportunity. Just get out of it completely, once and for all. Get out of Facebook, get out of Snapchat, get out of all the stuff. We don't need any of that. Maybe just have one chat to make international phone calls free, that's it. Other than that, we don't need it. Get out of it and remember, you will feel how completely relieved. There are a couple of characters who listened to me saying this 2-3 years ago and you ask them. Number 3, forgive everyone no matter what. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this dua. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ وَوَا رَبَّ Verily we have heard the call of the one Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam calling to the faith. And he said, believe in your Rabb. And we believed. Our Rabb forgive our sins and erase our evil deeds and make us die in a state of righteousness along with the Abrar, with the good people, obedient people. Forgive and wipe out. One is to forgive. The sin was there, it is still there, it just struck out. So you're not going to get anything bad for it, but it is still there in your record. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, forgive and wipe it out as if it never happened. The malaika will be made to forget, it's no longer in the book. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, it is very, very important for us to follow this and to ensure that we take heed of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said in his book in Surah Al-Imran about the good people, أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ غَيْظٍ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. These are the people who spend in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause, in His cause, during ease and hardship, and who restrain their anger, and who pardon the people. Right? They spend when they have plenty, and when they do not, they are still charitable. And then, they restrain anger. They don't get angry. Anger is natural. But expressing that anger is a different issue. That's a choice. So, restrain their anger. And then they pardon the people. And Allah loves al-muhsineen, people who do good. Abdul Razak rahmatullah reported that a slave girl who belonged to Ali bin Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayh, she was pouring water for him for wudu and she dropped the pot on his head. So he was injured. So he turned and looked at her. Obviously he was angry. If you drop the pot on somebody's head, what do you think they will be? But this girl also, I mean, she knew her Quran. So immediately she said, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those who restrain their anger. So he said, I have restrained my anger. And then she is smart. She is taking advantage of the situation, right? Here is the grandson of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who is closer to the Quran then the Al of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she said, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. He said, I have restrained my anger. Then she said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they forgive the people. He said, I have forgiven you. And then she said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who do ihsan. He said, you are free, go. Huh? The reason I'm saying this is the nature of the muttaqi. That when he is reminded of the hukum of Allah, he doesn't hesitate. Samana watana, I heard, I obeyed. I may forget, I didn't know, I knew, but I forgot, all that. But the moment somebody reminds me, immediately. No argument about it. This is the nature of the muttaqun. This is the month also of charity. Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, charity does not decrease wealth. No one forgives, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases him in honor. No one humbles himself before Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his status. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three things concerning which by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would certainly swear an oath. Wealth does not decrease because of charity, so give charity. No man pardons another for some mistreatment, seeking thereby the pleasure of Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him in status thereby. And no one asks of people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase him in poverty. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Last point, do something special only for Allah and keep it secret. Don't tell anybody. That is very, very important. Shaitan takes away our sins in many ways. And one of the ways he takes the sins away is he makes us say things which remind people how pious we are and how, you know, Allah focused we are and how we are doing these great things in Ramadan. Why are you doing it? If you're doing it for Allah, Allah, do it for Allah. Don't tell people about it. Do whatever you need to do silently, quietly. Keep it for Allah. Remember the story of the three people who were trapped in the cave. You know the story, I'm not going to repeat it here. Who were trapped in the cave, landslide, rock slides. They're going to die there. And one of them said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the wasila of something you did only for Allah, which only Allah knows. And they made dua, three of them, each of them had a wasila, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released them. My question to myself is, what secret deeds do I have which only Allah knows? I know many of us have secret deeds which are actually evil deeds. You hide them from the world. One of the greatest evils of this ummah is pornography. And people of all ages, don't blame the kids, people of all ages, you hide and you do and you watch stuff you should not watch. Hiding from whom? From Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the worst of deeds, the mafhum of the hadith, he said the worst of deeds are those which you know are evil, you do that, hiding them from people, but you are not ashamed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing that. My purpose of saying all of this to you, my brothers and sisters, is to remind myself and you that alhamdulillah, 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 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite mercy and grace gave us Ramadan al-Kareem. The doors of his forgiveness are open. Let us change our lives, completely reboot. Whatever we did till today, wipe it clean. This is the opportunity. Completely wipe it clean. There's nothing but nothing which can stop us from doing that if we want to do that. And alhamdulillah, the very fact that we are sitting here in this masjid, listening to the khutbah, in Jum'ah, fasting is evidence that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. But Allah does not force anybody. We will walk into Jannah on our own stream and we'll walk into Jahannam on our own stream. Allah will not force anyone into Jannah or Jahannam. So it's up to us what choices we want to make. It doesn't matter what we did till today. Make istighfar, make tawbah, stop doing that. If it was wrong, and believe me, we don't need any muftis and fatwas. We know if it is wrong. If it was wrong, stop it. Right now. Make the niyyah now. As soon as you get to wherever you need to get to, stop it. If it is right, alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue. And do good stuff in secret. Don't tell anybody. Whatever it is, let it be between you and Allah. Let's learn to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah to give us the words that please Him. We know the hadith in Ibn Majah and Tabarani and Bayhaqi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man once asked Allah, he said, Ya Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajik wa li azimi sultanik. He said, Oh Allah, all praise belongs to you as befits the glory of your countenance and the greatness of your might. And the malaika were uncertain how much reward to write for this. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, Ya Rab, your slave remembered you in these words. We don't know what reward we should write. What shall we write? Nabi sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did he say? And of course Allah knows what he said, because Allah gave him those words. What did he say? And Allah asked this question because Allah wants to establish a hujjah, an evidence for the slave, in favor of the slave. Then the malaika say, Ya Rab, he said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajik wa li azimi sultanik. Oh Allah, all praise and thanks for you in keeping with the glory and majesty of your countenance and in keeping with the glory and majesty of your quwwat and taqat and your kingdom and your might. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, write it down just as he said it, and I will reward him for it in keeping with my glory and majesty. Now what is the reward? So let us do that. Let us ask Allah to give us words to praise Him which please Him. I ask this for myself and you. Ya Rab, give us the words to praise You in ways that please You. And keep it secret. Don't tell anybody about it. Keep it secret between you and Allah. We ask Allah to give us the ability to do things that please Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give us sincerity in our hearts. Ikhlas un niyyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to say and do only that which pleases Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to take maximum benefit out of this Ramadan. To make this the best Ramadan yet of our lives. And if this is our last Ramadan, to make it the best Ramadan of our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us whatever we have done. We ask Allah to wipe those things from our deeds so that even the record of it doesn't remain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to fill our hearts with His nur, with His hub, with His love, with the love of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our lives on the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make our lives a reflection of the beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة